This episode is brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Welcome to Spill and Dish, a new podcast from the Specialty Food Association. Founded in 1952, SFA is the leading trade association and source of information about the $170 billion specialty food industry. We champion the food producers, retailers, and other buyers who make up the specialty food world. Each episode, we want to share the stories behind the products made and sold by our members who are helping shape the future of food. You can listen and discover the inspiration, recipe, craft, culture, ingredients, and production methods that help answer the question, what makes specialty food special? I'm today's host, Julie Gallagher, Director of Content at SFA. We're excited to bring you today's episode and so happy to be working with Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit podcast network covering the world of food, drink, and agriculture, and expanding the way eaters think about food. Today's guest is Chani Laux, chef and founder of Angkor Cambodian Food. Hi, Chani. I'm really so excited about having you here today with us and sharing your incredibly inspirational story. Can you start off by telling me where you're from originally?
I was born in Cambodia and came here to the United States after surviving the genocide in 1979.
Okay, wow. Was there a time when you were still in Cambodia when you were separated from your family?
Yeah, during the communist Cambodia, Khmer Rouge, during that 4 years period, I was separated from my family for that 4 years and was basically living in different labor camps. And it was really tough.
Yeah. And then you came to Nebraska. Were you reunited with your mother?
No, my mother came with me to Nebraska as a refugee. And, you know, my brother, I have two brothers escaped before us and they were there. And so automatically we go to Nebraska.
Okay. What was it like there in Nebraska?
Well, it was very different. And, but, you know, came from surviving the genocide and starvation. Anything was like a heaven to us. You know, we don't have any food that we're familiar with except cucumbers and tomato and potato. No spice, no flavor of Asian food. So, but, you know, at least we have food. And to us was like, it was a wonderful thing, you know. So we don't have to worry about what, you know, what tomorrow's going to be. We're going to make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then did you cook with your mother?
I cook with my mom a lot, especially after I had my own children. Mm-hmm. So we used to make many hot sauces and share it to the family, you know, and friends, and make a big batch and give it out. And every time somebody wants some, run out of hot sauce, we make another big batch and give it to everybody again. And they say, oh, I still have it. No, this one's fresh. Mm-hmm. So I cook a lot with her. And, you know, it's not just cooking. When you cook with somebody, you talk about things that bother you. You talk about things that you're happy about. And then things that she used to do with her mom and how it was in Cambodia. So a lot of sharing and a lot of rich information that you would never get otherwise in different situation. Mm-hmm. And so I really missed that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you were cooking together, did you do cooking in Nebraska? I know that you moved to California eventually, but was it hard finding ingredients? I know you said it was, you know, you couldn't find the spices and things.
Yeah.
How did you make do with what you had on hand?
Right. Well, we adapt. So, for example, you know, we used to have all different produce that we normally do, but we adapt, like we replace green papaya with carrot and then make our own food. And we would replace hot basil. You can't find hot basil in Nebraska. You replace it with oregano. So even now that, you know, in the summer in California, I can have hot basil. But I remember those times, you know, and those times spending with mom and how you adapt to different culture, different environment. It was a special time, even though we do a replacement, substitute, and it was wonderful. And, you know, because of that experience, now when I make recipe, I always be mindful about people who can't get to those fresh produce. So I always provide my, you know, people, my followers to how could you replace certain thing, you know, so.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And then what year did you move to California?
I moved to California in 87. Yeah,
okay.
In 87. Yeah, right after I graduated from college, we couldn't find any job in Nebraska at that time that would do like engineering high tech. So automatically I went to Silicon Valley and got my first job there.
Okay. And what did you do as your first job?
My first job, I start off as a software, and I help a company build a head-up display in the jet fighters. So be, you know, like a firmware, very small software engineer learning from everybody. And then eventually my last position as an engineer, I was a senior staff at a biotech industry, helping to design a flow cytometer, which is an instrument that take blood sample and help oncologists treat and diagnose cancer patients.
Wow. So that's so different, obviously, from the world of specialty food.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about why you decided to make a shift in careers?
Well, you know, again, you know, came here without knowing any word of English and start everything from scratch. We didn't have anything at all. But I love what the opportunity that I got from, you know, the support of the government and the people in this country. So I try my best. And with all this hard work, I have dream about, you know, do a certain thing to give back to the community. You know, I want to publish a book that would talk about a new way how to design things, you know, system of system, how you aggregate big system together. I participated in like a non-profit organization, being the president of International System of Council Engineering in Silicon Valley. I was lined up to help and give back, you know, do the best I can. But then my mom passed away, and all that ambition, the dream I wanted to give back, would just like become so irrelevant compared to, I think about what does people know about my mom? And they don't. And she was an amazing person. She had gone through many obstacles, terrible obstacles, but she never used those as an excuse to not do her best or to, you know, a reason why she didn't get something done. You know, like the kind of thing that she went through was when she was 14, she lost both parents. And then right away, she got separated from her sibling and go to foster homes. And from home to home, she would clean for them and cook for them. And she didn't go to school at all, just spent her day cleaning and cooking. And then eventually she met my father, and she worked hard and had her own business and was able to, you know, own several homes. And since I know right from wrong, I never experienced her difficulty. I only heard about it. But then the Khmer Rouge, you know, the communist Cambodian, took over the country, and they took everything that she worked hard for. And then during those time, you know, she had survived the genocide, but she lost her husband to it, and she lost my younger brother, who was 12 years old at the time, and completely lose everything that she worked for. And came to this country as a single mom, don't speak any English, don't even know what's the weather's going to be like, never even heard about it. So much fear, you know, within each one of us. How are we going to survive? We didn't know the government would help us out a little bit. And then, you know, she started over became a janitor.
Wow.
And raised four of us to go to college. And she had this amazing story that need to be told, and but nobody know much about it. So here I am, you know, sharing her story through her recipe.
Yes.
And she was a wonderful cook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And love sharing food to people. And she'd been, because she was an orphan when she was young, every time she met somebody who experienced the same situation, which many people do from Cambodia, both parents passed away, she took them in and she cooked for them. And I want to carry her legacy of loving and sharing food. And so, you know, one thing led to another. We had hot sauce to start with, and now we have like 40 items available for people to try.
That's amazing. What an amazing story. And, you know, what a beautiful way that you're honoring your mother.
Yeah.
And her memory. So how did you initially get started? How did you go from just starting out to now, you know, you said you had 40 products. Did you start off in a farmer's market or?
Well, Cambodian food is always fresh. So how do you get something, you know, you go to the market and you see people, you know, load the product into jars and make it last shelf stable. And you can't find Cambodian food in that form ever before a company. And I learned how to can for my family from Nebraska, and my mother-in-law was showing me how to do that. So two lady, my mom and my mother-in-law and my experience in FDA, I felt like I can do this, you know?
Yeah.
So I started off, learn about it and share it to my friends and family. That's what my mom used to do. I didn't intend to have a business. It mm-hmm. just carry her legacy. You know, that's what she did.
Oh,
you know?
I see. Okay.
And I carry on and give it to my colleague and they want to buy. And I say, no, you know, that's not how it works. And she said, but that's not how it works. If I can't buy it from you, I can't give to people as a gift. So, right. You know, one thing lead to another. And that's how I started. I was as a senior staff system engineer, I have people that work for me. I produce, you know, design product and ship it out for, you know, Fortune 500 company. And here I am. I wanted to carry my mom legacy. And I would cook and stand in the farmer's market to give people a sample.
Right. What a transition.
Yeah. And sometimes you feel like a little bit like, what are you doing? Because your colleague walked by and and I was happy to see them. They were happy to see me, but you really have to have that conviction.
Right.
To be out there. And when I'm out there doing tasting, I learn a lot from people.
Mm-hmm.
I learn that people are not familiar with Cambodian food, and I learned that people love Cambodian food. So it's inspired me to say, what would be the next product that I would make that make it so unique to Cambodian cooking, something that, you know, if you go to a Cambodian kitchen, you smell that uniqueness. What would that be? Mm-hmm. And what do we use a lot? And that's how I come up with the lemongrass paste, which we received Sophie Award for it. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So are you in food service at all, or are your products in retail locations?
We start off with retail, and then we have food service size. And during the pandemic, all the order for the food service side was canceled. And, had been to starvation and all the time that I was surviving the communist Cambodia. It was hard for me to see my product waiting and might go to waste. And, the confidence that I had when people try it, they like it. So how can I adapt to this new way of people still eating food? People still want to try different things. How can I not waste my product, food service size product? So I decided to double down and my investment and opened up a takeout and delivery restaurant.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. During the pandemic, you
During the pandemic. Last year, I did it, and it was as I expected. People are not familiar, but once they try, they come back. And we had able to use a product, you know, food service size product, and it gave us confidence. Next time we talk to a potential client, we can tell them, if you use this product, if you use the lemongrass paste or tramen sauce, these are the dish that sells good, because we have those data.
Right.
We have those data that people like this dish and some of the things they may not like. But for example, our Sophie Award winner, it surprised me how people like those sauce in different dish. You know, I didn't think they would. And they like our top sales, our top dish, hot dish for lemongrass paste is pineapple curry chicken sausage.
Wow.
And stir fried lemongrass. And so now I felt confident about it. But, you know, we learned that from that data, from that, you know, cooking in the kitchen all the time, and I have team helping me out, I keep cranking up the same sauce over and over, and I start to form another product out of this experience. You know, I know exactly what's the next product to bring to Specialty Food Association. And it's all because I was cooking at that takeout, you know, and delivery restaurant.
Are you still doing that now?
I am. I'm doing that. Right, my team is helping me out right now. Is the restaurant is open 7 days a week.
Wow, yeah. That's wonderful.
And I think it was like, to me, you can see that the restaurant was more like another way of educating people what's Cambodian food looks like, tastes like, smell like, and because most people are not familiar, and when they try, they love it. And I, you know, after I went to Sophie Award, I realized that that's what we have to do, because it wasn't like, oh, you want Sophie Award, now people are gonna want to come and try your stuff. It's like, I need to educate people. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to how do I get more people to try? Because I know when they try, they like it. So I instead of spending time building a new product, I spend the next 2 years educating, mm-hmm. creating a website for recipe, cooking online, cooking for people for private party, different events, fundraising, and as a guest chef to, you know, restaurants and some other chef. Anytime anybody who said, do you have time? I was like, yeah, sign me in, you know? And it was, I think it's been paying for. And the takeout restaurant and delivery restaurant, to me, it's another form of education. Because you can sell paste, and then you have to tell people how to use it, and people forget about it. And they haven't even tried Cambodian food to even say, oh, I'm going to use this paste to do this dish.
Right.
So it's just a form of marketing and communication and education.
Wow. There were so many pivots that happened during the pandemic that food makers are now holding on to because they worked out really well for them.
Yeah.
So how many years have you had your food business now? Has it been 10 years?
It's been 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah, The first 5 years, it was, like I said, I was still doing engineering. And on the weekend, I would be getting my sauce and paste, you know, on and wheel it to San Francisco and have people try it. And then during the day, you know, during the normal day, I was just doing my
day job.
And finally, I decided to go full time in 2015.
Was it scary to take that leap?
It was scary, but I've been blessed with two children who I felt like they are independent, so they don't need my help anymore. So I'm going full force just for me and, you know, the legacy of mom.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Looking back on the food business, is there anything you would do differently?
I think that the hardest thing for me is I probably would have be more focused, start earlier. I think we would have got a lot further. But at the same time, it's not, you know, if we have to do it slow, we have a lot of people helping us out, support and, you know, sharing what we make. So I think it would have been like start earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, start earlier, probably when mom's still around.
Yeah. And then what would you say your inspiration is for new flavors?
I think the new flavor is has to do with natural, fresh, but also something that help the immune system. Mm-hmm. And even like I'm working on purple curry, because any purple vegetable boosts your immune system. And it's been fun to try different things and also unique and also not so different, because people are familiar with what curry is supposed to taste like.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so fun. What do you want people to know about your brand that they might not know?
Well, I think if people, you know, you're right, you know, that's one of our challenge is to get people familiar with our product. Cambodian food is like, it's like another Southeast Asian flavor, a new Southeast Asian flavor, because we are right between, next door to Thai and Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our ingredients are the same. It's just how you prepare your dish using those ingredients. And some dish are in Cambodian similar to Thai, some dish similar to Vietnamese, but like, you know, this different culture have their own uniqueness of
right.
the dishes. And one of our uniqueness of our dish is the fish souffle.
Okay.
Which is lemongrass, coconut cream, and fish and egg, and you steam it up, and it's really good.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. So, it's like if you're looking for a new flavor in Southeast Asian cuisine,
mm-hmm.
we the answer to it.
And what would you say is next for your business?
Next for my business is to introduce more of what we sell best in our takeout restaurant right now, and make it available, make it easier for people to try. And that is Cambodian curry.
Okay.
And Cambodian, we have two different kind of flavor, red curry and green curry. I was surprised that it was going really good, because people had curry, all different kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
But each culture, again, have different way of serving their dishes. And Cambodian curry is a little bit not so strong in the curry flavor and aroma, but more balanced with the coconut and fresh vegetable. And it's different, and people like it. Yeah.
Okay, great. We're almost out of time, but before you go, we'd like for you to participate in our final segment. It's called Take Five, where we pose five questions to our guests.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's pause for a break.
This episode is brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 35 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on an eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail served on the beautiful patio, which has ample room for social distancing. Travelers from around the world find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Okay, here are your five questions for our final segment, Take Five. What's your favorite thing about the specialty food industry?
I love so much about it because of what I'm doing as a producer, as a food manufacturer. Every, you know, you get the opportunity to be in front of so many people who would never know my product in the first place. And as a producer, I also looking for ingredient that other member, other exhibitor available for me to try and talk to. And as a operator of a restaurant, I love to try different things. So I'm here as an exhibitor mainly, but I'm also a buyer for my company. So it's wonderful.
That's great. Is there anything that you don't like about the industry?
No, I think it's great. I wish I had more time to participate and help making the industry stronger. You know, I asked my husband to participate and volunteer, get involved in different things. And the more you get involved, the more you really appreciate. And it's part of our business now. You know, we never skip a show since we started.
And if you weren't running a business, what would you be doing?
Engineering.
And is there a piece of advice that you'd give to a new food business?
Really believe in what you have to offer and surround yourself with supporter. Sometimes your family is not the best supporter you have. Because, you know, for example, in my case, they said, what are you doing? You know, you're the system lead. You're designing all different things. People want to do what you're doing. And now you want to do what? Hot sauce? But, you know, it's you follow your dream. You follow what you're really happy doing. And why you're happy doing it, give it a try. Give it your best. And you're going to run into a question that, am I doing the right thing? You know, don't give it up. Just keep at it.
Great advice. And how do you define specialty food?
A specialty food is something that you can't really find in, sometimes you can't really find in Costco, all those big wholesale. It's special. We make from small batch. We make with a lot of care, not just the product and making money, but the passion of sharing what you grow up with, what you crave for, what you want to show the world that you're special, what you have to offer is special.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us
my
today.
My pleasure.
I can't wait to stop by the booth and try some Cambodian food.
Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
And you can find out more about this show at specialtyfood.com and heritageradionetwork.org. And remember to follow wherever you get your podcasts. Come back often to get to know the people who are shaping the future of food. Special thanks to Chani Laux and to Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station. This is Spillin' Dish, a Specialty Food Association podcast.